The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
I have just had the most wonderful pleasure of meeting the man that who is going to speak to you guys tonight. Dr. Izzeddin Abulaish is a medical doctor. He's an OBGYN. He got his medical degree from Cairo, I learned tonight. He's also studied in Toronto, and he's a professor there right now. But His credentials aside, they are long and impressive and wonderful. But what is more remarkable about this man is his heart. I feel like meeting him, reading his book, it did me anyway, something about the kind of person that I would like to be. He has an incredible capacity for forgiveness. An amazing, awe-inspiring love and appreciation for life. And it is an absolute pleasure to get to know this man. And I know you're going to feel the same when you hear him talk. So I know you didn't come here to listen to me. And without further ado, I would like to introduce to you Dr. Izzeddin Abulaish.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a great honor to be with you. But with the feeling, happiness, it's a mix of feeling. Happiness, pain, but most important, is the hope. Seeing you to come to listen, it inspires me and gives me hope that this world can change. As a Palestinian refugee who was born, raised in Jabalia refugee camp that I am proud of, I plan to write my book to tell a story, human story, about what is happening in this world, the suffering that is happening, which is not from God. As a child, as a Palestinian child, who never tasted the childhood. But still, hundreds of millions of children suffer the same. I looked at it, and this is the hope. And that's what do I want each of you to think of it as a hope, because it's man-made. It's not from God. It's people like us who did it. So what can we do to challenge them of not accepting what is happening and acting to change it? As a child, to suffer, I suffered all kinds, but I dreamed one day to become a medical doctor. And that's what can I say to each of you and to your children, and to tell, to transmit this message, dream big. Anyone can oppress you, can deprive you, can occupy you, can imprison you, but can't prevent you from dreaming. I dreamed to be a medical doctor and I have to work hard. I worked hard. I succeeded to become a medical doctor. And for us as Palestinians, education, it's not for the sake of education. To get a better job. And that Palestinian is not living for himself. He's living for the sake of others, for his parents, for his siblings, for his family, for his community and relatives, to save them from the miserable life in the camps as refugees. But the most important, I succeeded. But how many people are still behind who can't fulfill their dreams? We need to be connected to those people and to give them hand to move forward, to save them and to give them hope. What have I succeeded to achieve? Strengthened my belief of hope. And in my life, the word impossible has no place in my mind. Everything I planned, I succeeded to achieve. And what have I achieved? I would love for a moment if my parents would come out from their grave to see that their efforts were not waste, that their son has achieved and accomplished something that they will be proud. I wanted them to enjoy what did they plant. But when it comes the time to reap, what did they plant? They are gone. They are gone from life where they suffer the whole of their life. And in our life, each of us faces tragedies, ups and downs, challenges. And for me as a Palestinian, my life itself is a tragedy. But the most difficult time in my life was in 4 months period. And number 16 will never be erased from my mind. 16th of September 2008, 4:45 p.m. is the day when I lost my wife. I was blessed from her with 6 lovely, beautiful, bright daughters, that if I have 20 of them, I will be blessed from God, and 2 sons. As a child, I know the value of the mother. The mother is the one who sacrifices and gives. And as a child, if someone asked me, whom do you want to sacrifice? I would say, I want to stay with my mother. The Palestinian mother is the hero, as every other mother, who kept the Palestinian cause living through their children. Our parents who lost everything, but they didn't lose hope in their children. They are not educated. They are villagers, but they realize the importance of education. And it's time to educate their children. Because it's the new mean of fighting If you want to get to your rights, it's not with weapon. It's the strength of the education and the minds, and to build the minds. And now I am burned by the fire to lose my wife. But my children, especially my daughter Bisan, who was 20 years old, she said, "You have to continue your life and count on God and on our support." Bisan is the one who was at the university, and as students, they think that the most difficult thing in life for them is academic tests, academic exams. After she lost her mom, she told me, "Now I learned something else. I realize that academic exams are the easiest thing in life. The most difficult thing in life is life exams. The challenges we face." I continued my work, but then the unexpected happened. 16th of January, 2009. 4:45 p.m. is the day when an Israeli tank shell hit my daughter's room, killing 3 daughters, niece, and severely wounding 1 daughter, niece, and other members. For nothing they did. And there was no reason to be killed. They were girls armed with love, with hopes, with education, with care about others, with the plans for the future. Bisan alone, I can write books about her. Bisan is the girl who was supposed to get her BA a few months later. Bisan was the girl, the first Palestinian girl I sent to peace camps at the age of 14. And when she returned, she said, "I found how similar are we as Jewish, Christians, Muslims, Druze." Bisan, at the age of 14, said, "To meet terrorism with terrorism, or violence with violence, doesn't solve any problem." Bisan is the one who said, "Everything starts small, then becomes big. Everything starts in one place, then goes in different directions." What about Mayar, who was 15, who planned to follow my path, to be a medical doctor? At least one of my daughters, one of my children, will take the human path, where medicine has one face. It has a human face. It doesn't know colors, names, religions, background. Mayar, the one who was the president of the students' parliament, Aya, the beautiful, bright girl who planned to be a journalist or a lawyer, to be the voice of others, whom always cared about others, to come from the school to tell me that we have to support other girls at their schools. My niece Noor, who came for her fate. She was 17. Those girls that I was proud of. They never succeeded less than 97% in their schools. Their teachers were fighting to have them in their classes. But now, I don't want anyone to see what have I seen seconds after I left their room. I went to see, where is Bisan? Where is Mayar? Where is Aya? Where is Noor? Where is Shada? They became parts. Drowning in a pool of blood, I wanted to see just Mayar, because I realized I have to go and to treat those who were severely wounded, just to have the last look at them before they are buried. I can't recognize Mayar, decapitated, parts spreading everywhere. But as a believer, as a Muslim with deep faith, and it's important to have faith, whatever is your faith, I said, seconds after I left my daughter's room, the first shell came. If I stayed a few seconds, I would be gone with them and will be added to the list to become numbers, because at that moment, Gazans were not a human being. They became numbers. They have no names. They have no faces. They have no parents. They have no plans. They have no future. Just the statistics. It's shame to think of a human being as numbers. Saving one, you save the world. To kill one, you kill the world. That's all human values. But it's God's bless. I said, this tragedy is for good and will be invested for good. And I was blessed to be a medical doctor to start thinking, and I have to decide in case of emergency, what can I do for those who are severely wounded? Those who are killed, I can't do anything to them, but I can think and save Shada Ghaida and my brothers. And the first message of support came from my son, Muhammad, who was 12. I started to think and to look at him. This 12 years old, what is he going to do? 4 months ago, he lost his mom, and now he lost 3 sisters. Is he going to be crazy? To hate the world? To be what do we call extremist, fanatic, violent? He wasn't born extremist or fanatic. We have to blame ourselves. What did we do to make him violent? But he looked at me and said, why are you crying? Why are you screaming? You must be happy. Your sisters are killed. And do you want me to be happy? He said, you must be happy. My sisters are happy there. They are with their mom. She asked for them. That's the Palestinian child that I am proud of. Can we think of those children to offer them the life they deserve and the future to live in? If he said that, I have no way, just to move forward. and to carry the pain. As Einstein said, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep balanced, we must keep moving. But I have to keep moving faster, stronger, more determined. Of investing this tragedy for good. My daughter Shada, niece and the brother were treated in the hospital where I used to work. They were treated by my Israeli colleagues, where medicine has one face, human face, to treat with the privacy, with the respect. Our goal is to heal and to cure and to save lives. Can others learn, especially leaders, to practice and to learn from doctors to give equality, respect, and the privacy to everyone outside the borders of the hospitals, and to look at each of us as a human being who has the right, dignity, and the respect. Because we have to realize one thing, that the most holy thing in the universe is a human being and the freedom. Freedom, where we born, we were born all free. No one was born oppressed or poor or occupied. We must run a normal, a free life and get from it free. No one on earth should pay any price to get his freedom. Freedom is free for everyone without any cost. We shouldn't be killed to get our freedom. No one should sacrifice to get his freedom. Freedom of sickness, of poverty, of occupation, of unemployment, of a secure future. Freedom of fear and anger. And when I wrote the book, someone may ask, after what happened, Izzeldin, still you don't hate? Why? I can say to you, as a Palestinian, and each of you, if I want, through the whole of my life, everyone who did bad things to me, to hate him, and to record that, the list will be endless. And each of you, if is going anyone to write, to hate anyone who did bad things to him, we will be living in a world full of hate, drowning in hate. But as a believer, hate for me is a blindness. Hate is a poison. And those holy souls, those holy beautiful girls, if I want to bring them justice, it's not with hate. It's to be healthy, mentally, physically, and to carry the wound and the pain with me without losing the direction and compass, to give me the energy. I don't want to be wasted and consumed and burned by the fire of hate. And the one that I want to hate, is he thinking of me? I don't think so. But I am determined to send him messages of success. You tried and you used military weapons to kill my daughters. I am not going to use the same weapon. I have a stronger weapon than yours. The wisdom and the kind words. and I will stand steadfast, stronger, and you will never destroy me. I will never collapse, and I am there to challenge you with wisdom, good words, and good deeds. And we will see who will reach there. The antidote of hate and revenge is success. To succeed and not to give up. My daughter Shada, who was severely wounded, she was in her high school. She was studying day and night to be one of the first 10 in Palestine in the high school. She studied on candles during the war. But what do I expect from her now? She spent 4 months in the hospital, and she has to go to study. She did the exam with all the difficulties. And the day we moved to Canada, they announced the result. And all of my children succeeded as nothing happened. As usual, Shada succeeded with 96%. And now she is studying computer engineering at the University of Toronto. That's the success, not to collapse, but to continue and to challenge and to succeed. We must feel the anger and outrage. I go to Gaza to feel angry and outrage, to visit the graves of my daughters, to be energized, to come back of not accepting what happened, to take more responsibility of doing more. And that's what I am determined. I swore to God and to my daughters not to relax or to rest, because I will meet them one day. And I want to meet them one day with the big gift that their blood was paid for, the justice they paid their blood and souls for them and for others. That's what I am determined to do, and for other children in this world. We must start to act and to take responsibility. It's good that we are meeting, to be moved emotionally. But as a medical doctor, the patient, it's good to have words, but he needs prescription. He needs medication to be cured and to be discharged from the hospital, to be freed from the disease. We need actions, not just words. Actions resonate more than words. And don't underestimate your action. Just to do something. Don't wait for others. Don't reject yourself. Do something, whatever the size of action you are doing. Speak to others about what is happening in this world. Speak to your family, to your neighbors, to your colleagues. Tell them. Write a word. Volunteer. Visit. Donate, help, give a smile to anyone. It's a matter of action. And the story of the young girl who believed in action and saving lives. When she was sitting on the beach and the heavy tide threw hundreds of starfish, as a girl with her good heart, she thought of saving lives. She started to throw one by one when a man crossed that girl and asked, "What are you doing?" She said, "I am saving." said, but there are hundreds. It's not going to make any difference. She was confident. And what did she do? By evidence-based, by example, she led. She threw another starfish into water and said, it made a difference to that one. Every one of us can make a difference. Just to take responsibility and be honest with himself. I can say to you, thank you. I can say to you, I'm coming here because of hope. As a medical doctor, we are not allowed to lose hope as long as the patient is still alive. No one would expect what will happen tomorrow. What is happening in this world is an indication of hope. But what do we need is to act and to start. It's not hope while are we sitting here. It's hope when we believe in it and to act for that hope. And the change will never come from outside. Each of us must ask himself, what can I do? The change is inside each of us. God will never change what is in people till they change what is in their hearts, minds, and souls. Our enemy is our ignorance, greed, and arrogance. We don't know each other. We need to connect and to defend each other and to respect each other. How can I watch someone who is oppressed and occupied? My freedom is from others' freedom. I am not free as long as others are not free. And we must start to think in that way, that no one is far away from the risk. How far geographically are we? One day, the fire will reach me. Today I am far, but no one knows what will happen tomorrow. We must prevent and be immunized against any danger. We don't want to treat or to manage. We want to prevent. And that's what is needed. And I want to give you the messages. This is a human message. The book is not mine. It's everyone's message when he thinks of it. From my little experience, what did I pass through? I can say to you, don't say tomorrow. Don't say tomorrow for anything you want to do. If I knew what will happen to me, I will never leave my wife, my children. I will spend most of my time to be with them, to share with them, to eat, to kiss them, to hug them, to talk to them. What can I say? Enjoy your time with the people you love. Share with them, talk to them, eat with them. You don't know this moment will come back or not. The second thing, tragedies are not the end of the world. In every bad thing we see, there is something good. After I lost my three daughters, I learned why the sequence, my wife died first. It's for a cause. I don't think any mother can tolerate to see her daughters killed in front of her. And that's what my son told me, the third. Nothing is impossible in life. The fourth is to have hope and to act for it. And to search. And this will help you to find the happiness that we all lost. We think happiness with what do we have? How much do we have? How much do we earn? Happiness is with how much do you share? How much do you give? How much do you connect with others? Happiness is not with me. Happiness, I get it from others. I share it with others. And the love. And the heart. That some people, they think of it just to pump blood. The heart has other important functions. Our hearts are closed. Our hearts are big, but they are closed. We need to open our hearts. And that this world can endure with justice and the truth. And to understand justice, to like for others, what do I like for myself? To put myself in the shoe of the others. And peace in this world can't be just and good for just one and to be by force. Peace must be just and good for all and by choice. And I want to finish with the poem which was written by an Israeli Jewish woman who wrote in memory of my daughter Bisan to every one of us to find what is missing and what does he want, where love resides. In memory of Bisan, I long to touch you, Bisan, one more time, to hug you, to tell you how sorry I am that your mom died, but now you two are gone. Your smiling face, your gentle way, your softness, your non-judgmental words, your pain for your people, your way of life, your dreams, aspirations, and your hope for peace. Just days before the war, I spoke with your dad. He gave me your phone number. It's still in my car. Every day I glance at the number. Seeing your name, Bisan, I wish I had spoken with you more. But I didn't have the guts. I spoke with you 3 days before you died. I told you that I am praying for your safety. My prayers were not heard through the shelling, the bombing, the Qassams, the smoke. I feel I have been betrayed by God, by my country, by the cruelty of humanity, by the warmongers, by those who think violence is the solution. And with all of this, I have been given a gift to have spent 6 weeks with Shada, Izzeddin, and Ghaida. I heard no anger. I heard no words of revenge, no hatred. I heard no anger. I heard the deep belief that peace is possible, even with this enormous loss. I have been strengthened from their strength. I am more determined from their determination. I am more at peace from their peacefulness. Bisan, forgive me for not being able to save you from my own people. Forgive me for giving you hope that peace is possible and then taking that dream from you. You will always be my symbol of hope, peace, and mostly gentleness. Your dad shared a dream with me days after you died. He came into a room full of men, and there you were sitting among them. He asked you, why are you sitting here, Bisan? You know it is not acceptable in our society. You answered, all is fine now, Dad. I am happy and well. I can be here now among the men where I am needed. May no other woman need to die in order to be able to influence the men as you have been saying. May we women be heard and heeded, and may the men in this world get the chance to know from deep within their hearts that this is where the answer lies, in their hearts where love resides. My daughters, 2 weeks before they were killed, when I took them to the Gaza beach just to heal from the first tragedy, they succeeded to see their names as on the cover. 2 weeks on, they saw their names written in sand, as if they knew, with every wave coming to clean their names, that they would be cleaned from life. But where are their names written now? They are written in stone on their tomb. And who can see his name or her name written during their life in stone or in metal? Only big philanthropists, generals, presidents. The normal and poor people, they can't see their names written in stone or in metal on institutions. But my daughters who have plans to achieve, and they were able to achieve because they have a father who can help them. And in my life, I am in debt to my mother, to my wife and my daughters. And I want to see the plans of my daughters accomplished by other girls. A foundation has been established in memory of my daughters, called Daughters for Life, for Education and Health, for Girls and Women in the Middle East. Because the world can be changed if we equipped the women with education. It's the strongest weapon, the main indicator of any country's development. It's not the income or the GDP. It's women's role and women's education. A healthy, educated girl and woman will raise healthy, educated children, husband, family, community, and nation. It's time for women to take the lead. It's women's role, not just women's status and women's rights. And that's what I am devoted for. The seeds for this foundation is my daughter's blood and my efforts and my life. So, dear friends, with all of my heart, I believe this world can be changed. And I believe in you. I believe in you that we all can make a significant and make a difference in this world. But what do we need to start? To smash and destroy the mental and physical barriers within each of us and between us. We don't want to build walls of separation. We want to build the bridge between our hearts and minds. And in our life, we have the priorities. And the priority is our future. And who is the future? Our children, who are the beauty of life. And to understand one thing, that the roadmap is not the territory. The roadmap is the humanity that we all belong to, and we all must stand for and defend when we see any violation to any human rights. It's time for action. Have hope, have faith, but most important, to take action. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you again for sharing your thoughts with us. At this point, we will move to a Q&A, so raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of questions. So one brief question per person. Gentlemen, about 10 rows back, please wait for the microphone.
Just a quick comment. Blessed are the peacemakers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you tell us how you are perceived in your society with your thoughts?
My thoughts, my society, they believe in those thoughts, and they fully support those thoughts. And what did I say here? I said it in Palestine. I said it everywhere. It's not a colored message to be designed or developed according to the audience. It's a message that I believed in, and I will continue to defend and to work for. Our Palestinian people, they are proud of what I am doing, and they are happy of it, and they defend that message.
Yeah, lady about 10 rows back, and then Susan all the way in the back. There's a gentleman.
I had heard your story a while ago, and I thought of you for a long, long time. It is an honor to meet you. But one thing I want to say is the names of your daughters are in your hearts, and because you are sharing them, they are in our hearts. You will persevere, and you will be fine.
Thank you. As I said, the book is not mine. My daughters are not mine. And every child in this world is mine. And that's what do we want. To stand up. To relieve the suffering in this world. Especially among children. Children are the beauty of life. And if we want this world to look beautiful, we must invest and give our children the rights they deserve.
All the way in back.
Thank you for sharing the difficult story, and certainly for your efforts in turning it into a positive move for peace. Obviously, there are many on the Israeli side who also suffered like you did, and lost people to suicide bombings, and buses, and stores, and restaurants, and the thousands of rockets coming from Gaza. How can you convey your message back to the leaders in Gaza, Hamas and others, to change, from their hate and, work on both sides?
Thank you. It's good that you raised this question, and I will answer your question in that way. As a medical doctor, when a patient comes to me complaining of any symptom, I take the history and to see the symptoms of the disease. And I don't diagnose the disease according to the symptom. To say if he comes with fever, to say the diagnosis is fever. Fever is a symptom. Pain is a symptom. Nausea is a symptom. Violence is a symptom. Suicide bombs is a symptom. Rockets is a symptom. They are not born to be suicide bombers or violent or to send rockets. They are a human being as others, and they want to live as others. But you have to dig deeper and to ask, why are they sending the rockets that I condemn? And I said it loudly, and I would love the one who is asking and looking at the Palestinians to blame them, to condemn any violent, brutal military attacks against the Palestinians, to stand as the Palestinians themselves stood strong to condemn those rockets. So you must ask yourself, why are they sending? Is there any reason behind that? Ask why. And we must think in that way. You spoke about Hamas, about Gaza. Gaza Strip is part of the future Palestinian state. I can respond to you in that way. As Gazans, we are sending rockets to Sderot. Why the people from Yafo, from Haifa, from Jerusalem are engaged in it? They have nothing to do. We are dealing with our neighbors from Sderot. But it is one nation, the Israeli nation, and there is the Palestinian nation. Ask yourself, what are you doing in the West Bank? Are they their brothers, cousins or not? The wall, the settlements, the oppression, the occupation. Don't deal in a fragmented or divided way. Deal as one unity, a Palestinian nation to an Israeli nation, and there is one disease, which is the occupation. In the occupation, all of those symptoms will be gone, and no, there is no problem to face that.
Another question or two? Again, right back there.
I wanted to ask, you said several times that it's very important to have faith, regardless of what faith that is. And I wanted to ask you, with due respect, what you would say to those of us who have no faith, who have an abiding belief that there is no God, in a context of a world where so many have suffered, as you have suffered, because of faith, because faith on the part both of Jews and of Muslims has driven so much of the violence in that part of the world. And I just wanted your thoughts on that matter. Thank you.
I think, what did you say? Having no faith, this means he has faith. His faith is to have no faith. No answer, this means it's an answer. Whatever you believe in is the faith. You believe in something, not to believe in anything. It's your choice, and faith, it's between you and God, and between you and the one that you believe in. It's not between me and you. What is between me and you, how is it reflected on dealing? How do we deal with each other? How do we respect each other? It's not the faith that related between you and connected between you and God, or between the one and the one whom you believe in.
Right here.
As we speak, across the Middle East, regimes, oppressive regimes, are falling and people are gaining freedom. What message would you have for regimes in the Middle East that are in place that are oppressive?
I can say to you what is happening within the last 2 months in the Middle East. Also, it proved that nothing is impossible. Nothing. No one was expecting that. This is one thing. And the second lesson we learn, that people's patience has limitations. And it's not infinite. And it's the third. It's a message to all leaders all over the world. Not just the leaders in the Middle East. They are brutal, and they are there for how long? 30 years at least. But they are not born today. But as I said, it's a message to all leaders. Because leaders are there for what? To serve you, to help us, to have their eyes focused on the unemployed, on the uninsured, on the homeless, on the schools, to establish a society, not their eyes, to be focused on the next election. That's what is needed from what is happening. It's a message to every leader. I can say to you, I am happy about what happened, but Hosni Mubarak or Gaddafi or Zain al-Abidin bin Ali, they are not born today. They have been there for 30 years. And if any one of them came or planned to visit the States 4 months ago, I think the red carpet will be spread for them. We need the moral courage and to say the word in time. It must be said not yesterday, 20, 30 years ago, and that's the courage to say it in time and to tell those people that you are invalid and we don't accept you. Why did we keep silent about them? Why just today we started to criticize them and to realize that they are brutal, they are violent, they are bad people, corrupted? We must not, and that's why. And the third, I am happy, as I said, about what happened. But for me, it looks, we have to wait and to see what will happen. As a medical doctor, the major surgery has been done. But we have to wait for the post-op and to see what will happen.
Well, here's to a great post-operative recovery.
Yes, that's important. We don't want to rush. It may be rejected, the organ transplantation, it may be rejected because the ground wasn't receptive to it.
But we are hopeful nonetheless. Please join me in thanking Dr. Izzeddin Abouaid.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.